everyone is doing well. It's your good friend Aaron. Welcome to Chew the Bible. We are now in Leviticus chapter 15, talking about bodily discharges. Reading out of the NLT, New Living Translation. Bodily discharges. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, give the following instructions to the people of Israel. Any man who has a bodily discharge is ceremonially unclean. This defilement is caused by his discharge, whether the discharge continues or stops. In either case, the man is unclean. Any bed on which the man with the discharge lies and anything on which he sits will be ceremonially unclean. So if you touch the man's bed, you must wash your clothes and bathe yourself in water, and you will remain unclean until evening. Verse 6, if you sit where the man with the discharge has sat, you must wash your clothes and bathe yourself in water, and you will remain unclean until evening. If you touch the man with the discharge, you must wash your clothes and bathe yourself in water, and you will remain unclean until evening. If the man spits on you, you must wash your clothes and bathe. Who in the world is spitting on, folks? I guess accidentally, like if they talk like Daffy Duck, just spray spit everywhere. I was literally having a conversation with my brother yesterday about the VDs, there we go, to say it. He just asked me if I ever had one, and I was like, not as far as I know. And he was talking about his different examples with testing, and I guess the tests have changed. Now they're, we're all grown here, most of y'all. Even if your kid, any young folks listen to this, you gotta, I guess, learn this stuff at some point. But yeah, we just talked about how the tests have changed. He was telling me, like, now it's, they draw your blood. And what's the other thing he said? Oh, they have you, pee into a cup. And that's how they test for BDs. For those of y'all don't know, venereal diseases. Oh, yeah, I'm talking about, I forgot the one that causes men to drip or discharge. Anyway, all right. Yes, we were having a conversation about that somehow. And, there's a sports podcast that we like to listen to together sometimes. It's not a Christian podcast at all. But the funny thing is the guy on there, his mom is very religious. I don't know, what flavor of Christian she is, but he does talk about his mom a lot from time to time. And yeah. I don't know where I was going with all that. Oh, on that show, on this particular episode, they were talking about inventions. The show is called The Right Time, but Lomani Jones, I think I mentioned it before. Fox, and they did a Foxworth Friday episode. On Fridays, they do this thing called Foxworth Friday, and they literally just, they barely end up usually talking about sports. It's supposed to be kind of a sports podcast, but anyway, they talk about all kind of stuff. You know, on the show, they were talking about, like, who was that first person to invent indoor plumbing, like, running water, like, the inventions that we don't really appreciate. And also, they were talking about, lineups. Who was that first person that was like, all right, all black men, y'all have to... Who was that first black man to get his hair lined up and get it faded and lined up? And then they were talking about... They talked about a lot of stuff. But then they were talking about...
the condom. Who was that first person to invent it?
Changed a lot of people's lives. So, all right. Now that I have your attention,
where was I? Discharge. Verse 7, if you touch the man with the discharge, you must wash your clothes and bathe yourself in water, and you remember the waters of Lake Minnetonka. Ba-dooch. It's a joke. And you will remain unclean until evening. If the man spits on you, you must wash your clothes and bathe yourself in water, and you will remain unclean until evening. Any saddle blanket on which the man rides will be ceremonially unclean. If you touch anything that was under the man, you will be unclean until evening.
You must wash your clothes and bathe yourself in water, and you will remain unclean until evening.
If the man touches you without first rinsing his hands, you must wash your clothes and bathe yourself in water. You will remain unclean until evening. Any clay pots the man touches must be broken. Any wooden utensil he touches must be rinsed with water. When the man with the discharge is healed, he must count off 7 days. Interesting, 7 days. Number of perfection. For the period of purification,
then he must wash his clothes.
And bathe himself in fresh water. He will be ceremonially clean on the 8th day. Number of new beginnings. He must get 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and come before the Lord at the entrance of the tabernacle and give his offerings to the priest. The priest will offer 1 bird for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. Through this process, the priest will purify the man before the Lord for his discharge. Whenever a man has a emission of semen, he must bathe his entire body in water, and he will remain ceremonially unclean until the next evening. Interesting. Any clothing or leather with semen on it must be washed in water and will remain unclean until evening. After a man and a woman have sexual intercourse, they must each bathe in water and they will remain unclean until the next evening. See, this is a perfect example of like, because it all started because Bomani on the show was talking about how in his building, he lives in New York. Some apartments in New York. And his hot water went out. And sorry, I just went down a whole thought trail. I encourage y'all to pray for this guy, Bomani Jones, because I want to say it's a regret of mine, but I wish he actually came to Kansas City recently to go to this guy. There's this guy from Kansas City, a sports guy named Nick Wright, who's into, like, works for Fox Sports, something like that. Anyway, he was here for Nick Wright's vow renewal. Nick Wright's married to a black woman. And not that it should really matter, but I just thought I'd throw that detail in. Anyway, Bomani was here a few weeks ago. And it's weird. There's times where I feel bold to like share like more of the gospel and be more like direct with people. But then there's other times where I don't feel as led to do it. And some of it is, there's various explanations I can give for that. But when he was in my car, I wasn't feeling as bold and even enough to even give him a Jesus Loves You card, right? The funny thing is I had been praying for him and Dominique Foxworth Dominique Foxworth is a former NFL player. He used to be play cornerback for the Ravens and a couple other teams, the Denver Broncos, I think. Anyway, he's retired and all that. And him and Bomani are really good friends. And I've been praying for them that day or that morning before I met him. When I met him, it was like surreal. It didn't even feel real. Anyway, that's, I guess, what the word surreal means. All right. Sorry. But no, I'm not sorry. I'm working on not apologizing for everything. But there's this part of me that wishes I was more bold with him. But at the same time, I'm hoping that maybe he saw something in my car. He saw my, like, wristband. Because I asked to take a picture with him. Or at some point, I feel like he's seen my profile. I'm not really on social media like that anymore, but at one point when I was, like, all of my handles under my profile, like, it says Jesus, Jesus, only Jesus. I may have not always been the best at posting the greatest of Christian material on my, or being the greatest representation on X and what formerly Twitter or Instagram and all that stuff, but at some point I feel like he knew me. And what I'm trying to say is, like, I always say I feel like Jesus Christ is a gentleman. He doesn't, like, he doesn't force himself on anybody, but he's always knocking, letting you know that he's there. There's this podcast I want to listen to today. I didn't listen to it yesterday, but he was talking about, it's by this guy I listened to, Chip Ingram, Christian guy out of California. And the heading for it was talking about teddy bear hugs from heaven. How God has always given us these hugs to let us know that he's around. Or I like to call them winks from heaven, kisses from heaven, reminders that he sees us. A lot of people call them the universe, but I just say it's God's way of letting us know that he's around. Kind of like after my dad passed, there were these things that happened that let me know, confirm that my dad is cheering me on from heaven, that he may be, have left me physically, but he hasn't left me spiritually. Him and all my grandparents who left before me are cheering me on. Part of that great cloud of witnesses. Anyway, I don't know where I'm going with all this, but yes, I do know where I'm going with this. Pray for this guy named Bomani Jones. Please, y'all, anyone who listens to this podcast, just pray for his salvation. Pray that he will become like a little child and humble himself and stop running away from who God called him to be. And even bigger than that, than his calling, that he would just turn. And I'm going to say a word, a heavy word here. R-E-P-E-N-T. Repent. All of us, part of being born again and then being sanctified daily, have to repent of things. Big things that the Holy Spirit reveals to us, and small things that are revealed, like things that sometimes are revealed over time. Sins of omission, sins of blatant commission. Anyway, that's a deeper conversation for another time. But yeah, just please pray for my spiritual brother, Bomani Jones. I know there wasn't a coincidence that I met him. And yeah, God has a plan and a purpose for him. And he means a lot to me. Because even though his podcast is secular and there's times where he curses, it's funny because recently it's like my mom called me out and said, "Hey, can you tone down the cursing?" And I'm able to, like, see, I try to balance like, not listening. I'm trying to be careful what I listen to. I get so bored in that car, y'all. Like, I drove for 12 hours yesterday. And so I did listen to a lot of sports podcasts and listened to my podcast for a while, listened to some worship. What I'm saying is, pray for Bomani Jones. God wants him badly. And I always say the Holy Spirit is like Urkel. Like, he was always at Laura's door. Pursuing her heart, even though she kept rejecting him. So, all right, I'm done. I haven't finished that original thought. What started the whole conversation? Yeah. Bomani was at his apartment in New York, and his hot water ran out, and he's like talking about how he doesn't do cold showers. And then they started down this whole conversation on, like, yeah, who was that first person to invent indoor plumbing? And, yeah, my brother and I, the reason why Bomani and Dominique mean a lot to us, because it's, like, for us, for the last few years, Bomani's podcast, The Right Time, was something that him and I could talk about and bond over. And, yeah, we'll listen to it, and then we'll just, like, crack jokes together about what we listen to, you know? So, because we relate to a lot of the stuff they talk about. Like, our dad didn't get indoor plumbing until he was 18. So, anyway, let's keep going. Verse 19, whenever a woman has her menstrual period, she will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days. Anyone who touches her during that time will be unclean until evening. Anything on which the woman lies or sits during the time of her period will be unclean. If any of you touch her bed, you must wash your clothes and bathe yourself in water, and you will remain unclean until evening. If you touch any object she has sat on, you must wash your clothes and bathe yourself in water, and you will remain unclean until evening. This includes her bed or any other object she has sat on. You'll be unclean until evening if you touch it. If a man has sexual intercourse with her and her blood touches him, her menstrual impurity will be transmitted to him. He will remain unclean for 7 days, and any bed on which he lies will be unclean. Now, this is interesting. There's so much more I kind of want to say, and I'm thinking about saying, but my gut is like, nah, we're not gonna go there that deep. I will just say, as a married man, formerly married man for my 11 years and together with my ex-wife for 13, we're together 13, and it's interesting that situation will come up where I remember as a young man, I was like, ugh. Never doing that. Gross. I'm just going to be real with y'all. This is going to help some dude who's a young man who's planning on getting married, because these are things that I don't remember really talking to my dad about. My brother did have some conversations with my dad about the whole topic of yeast infections and how that can impact your sex life. As a married man, we got to normalize talking about this stuff and not make it feel... I mean, the Bible's talking about it. I feel like the world has perverted sex so much that it's almost made it so taboo to talk about it in church. And usually the conversations that are talked about in church related to this topic are very either surface level, or they're about, like, hey, you shouldn't be doing this before you get married. And that's, you know, sexual sin. And all the negative connotations to it, and negative results of, like, when you are promiscuous, or, you know, the proverb scriptures talking about the immoral woman, how her feet lead down to death, all that kind of stuff. I remember one pastor, he preached all on the topic of Song of Solomon. And yeah, that was interesting because you could tell he was a little bit uncomfortable talking about it. But I'm like, we need to talk about this stuff more. And from the pulpit, with kids around, so that we get a biblical understanding of these topics and why things are the way they are. And there's a lot of medical applications for this as well. Talking about STDs, we can go talk about that, but I'm not going to go that far right now. But I will say, yes, back to what I was saying, when I was a newlywed, or even in the time of having premarital sex when I was in college with my former wife, there would be times where I'd be like, not doing that on while she's on her cycle. And then several years into marriage, four babies later, and how do I say this? That is not as, I wasn't as scared to do that. We'll just say that. And there's this thing called just put a towel down. All right, keeping going. Verse 25. If a woman has a flow of blood for many days that is unrelated to her menstrual period, or if the blood continues beyond the normal period, she is ceremonially unclean. As during her menstrual period, the woman will be unclean as long as the discharge continues. Now, this is very important. Ding, ding, ding. Highlight this scripture, because once you go to, let me see here. I'm going to give you exact spots. The woman with the issue of blood in the New Testament. It's mentioned in Mark chapter 5, verse 24 through 34, Luke chapter 8, verse 42 through 48. This is anytime somebody says that the Bible is contradictory or full of contradictions, it's like, no, the Bible is actually full of confirmations. And here's an example that you can go to. You can be like, hey, I love stories. When I'm like witnessing to people, I like to share stories. Yeah, like the woman at the well is one of my go-tos. But for evangelism, I usually use that as an example of like, hey, you know, there was this woman at the well there to get water, and she tossed to Jesus, and Jesus basically like, hey, you drink from this well, you're going to be thirsty again. When you drink from me, you'll never be thirsty again. And I always tell people like that well represents, you know, well water is dirty, it's full of sediments, has to be purified and cleaned and boiled. And that represents the things of this world. Sex, money, relationships, fame, success, yeah, all the things, degrees, all these things that the world says is important, that we need to like validate ourselves and fill that God-sized hole inside of us that only He can fill. Or like Jesus is the only one that can satisfy us and quench our thirst. His water is pure, high quality H2O. And there's a lot of scriptures that talk about water and use it as it's a motif throughout the Bible. Anyway, water was very important back then. So anyway, that's something that I use. And here you go. Water was used for purification. And Went on a little tangent there. I just wanted to give like a little example to give people who are looking for ways to evangelize or share their faith with people. The best way you can evangelize or share your faith with somebody is to tell your testimony of how you used to be and how God has changed you. But here, the Bible is not contradictory. It's it's confirmation. It's all over the place. And here, if you look to those scriptures in Mark 5 and Luke 8, this woman suffered with the issue of blood for 12 years. She was couldn't stop bleeding, and she spent all of her money on doctors, yet the doctors couldn't help her. And so Jesus heals her, not technically intentionally, as far as I know. This woman reaches out while he's walking through a crowd on his way to go heal another person, a young lady, a girl who they thought was dead, but was really asleep. He was on his way to go wake her up. She was 12 years old. But anyway, on his way to go heal her, there was this woman. Or wake the girl up. There was this woman who reached through the crowd and touched the hem of Jesus' garment, and she's healed. And Jesus is in awe over her faith, the fact that she just figured, if I just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. And he tells her to, I believe, go do the ceremonially, do you want to read it, y'all? Let's read it. Luke 8:42. He tells her to do the, tells her to go do the, here we go. Hold on, does he? I guess he doesn't tell her to do that. Hold on a second. Interesting. This would be a good question to ask the people on the Bible Answer Man, because he's all right. Verse 45, who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Hold on a second. So that was Luke 8. Let's read the account, Mark 5:24. That's the NIV version I'm reading, y'all. Interesting. All he says there is, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. It's interesting that he doesn't tell her to do the ceremonial cleansing that he tells the leper. All right, I'm going to show y'all what I'm talking about. Why doesn't he tell her to do that? He doesn't cite Leviticus. But he tells this guy, Jesus tells leper healed to do ceremonial washing. Okay, that's from Mark chapter 1. Sorry, y'all. All right, here we go. Matthew 8:3. Jesus reached out. We'll do the NLT. Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said, be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared. So a man with leprosy is healed. And then in verse 4, it says, Then Jesus said to him, "Don't tell anyone about this. Instead, go to the priest and let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed." That was a law that was established in the Old Testament. So why did Jesus tell him to do that? But he didn't tell this woman who suffered with the issue of blood for 12 years. Why didn't he tell her to do the ceremonial cleansing that is referenced here? It says, verse 25, if a woman has a flow of blood for many days that is unrelated to her menstrual period, or if the blood continues beyond the normal period, she is ceremonially unclean as during her menstrual period. The woman will be unclean as long as the discharge continues. Any bed she lies on and any object she sits on during that time will be unclean, just as during her normal menstrual period. If any of you touch these things, you will be ceremonially unclean. You must wash your clothes and bathe yourself in water, and you will remain unclean until evening. When the woman's bleeding stops, she must count off 7 days. Then she will be ceremonially clean. On the 8th day, she must bring 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons and present them to the priest at the entrance of the tabernacle. The priest will offer 1 for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. Through this process, the priest will purify her before the Lord for the ceremonial impurity caused by her bleeding. Oh, we only done 31 minutes. We're making good time. This will be a good question. I'll ask my counselor about this. And I might write into the Bible, the people on Core Christianity. Like, why did Jesus not tell the woman to wash her clothes and to go give these offerings to the priest? 2 turtle doves and 2 young pigeons. But he tells the man with the leprosy to do that. Interesting. All right. Stay tuned on that. I mean, it doesn't really matter. It's just something I'm curious about. I like to nerd out on the Bible sometimes. All right. Verse 31, this is how you will guard the people of Israel from ceremonial uncleanness. Otherwise, they would die, for their impurity would defile my tabernacle that stands among them. Aren't y'all glad we don't live during that time? And now we're the temples of the Holy Ghost. So now, honestly, as far as I understand it, we defile ourselves when we do certain things, as far as like take drugs and have promiscuous sex and stuff with other people that aren't our spouses and do things that grieve the Holy Spirit. That's the way we defile the temple, our temples, that now Jesus, the Holy Spirit, dwells in, because we're temples of the Holy Ghost. You probably heard people say, protect your temple, but a lot of times they're saying that more in a worldly, New Age sense. It's like, no, you're actual, when you ask Jesus into your heart, you become a new creation, you're born again, and now the temple, your temples of the Holy Ghost. That one scripture where it says, in my Father's house there are many mansions. My counselor and I, we had a conversation about this, how some people interpret that to think that in heaven that we're going to get these new houses, new big old mansions in heaven. There's even people that have bumper stickers that talk about how my man, don't be fooled by the car, my treasure and my mansion is in heaven. Anyway. I I personally believe, and my counselor agree with this, my counselor Mike, who I talk to every Tuesday, we agreed that we are those mansions that he's referring to. Anyway. We are, as Christians, we are basically like one big renovation project. I like to think of it as like, some people might say, oh, you're a brand new house. I like to think of it as more as like a renovation project, like that's been ripped down to the studs. Like the shell is still there. And moving on the inside, yeah, there's all new hardware. Everything's been stripped down and demoed, and there's new flooring, hardwood floors, like new walls, new paint, whole new rooms. And just imagine like the house you grew up in, and if you were fortunate enough to grow up in a new home, and just imagine if it was like ripped down to the studs and it was made like a brand new house on the inside. You couldn't, and there was some work done on the outside and there was rooms added to it. And that's what it's like being sanctified, in my opinion. The Holy Spirit does a whole renovation project. And then when you leave this shell, your physical body, you pass on. As a Christian, hopefully you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and we get new heavenly bodies. So there's salvation, sanctification, then glorification in our new heavenly bodies that don't get sick and all that. Then you get your brand new home. Anyway, we'll get there. I believe we'll read about that somewhere in one of Paul's Gospels. I think he talks about that. All right, let's wrap it up. Verse 31, this is how you will guard the people of Israel from ceremonial uncleanness. Otherwise, they would die, for their impurity would defile my tabernacle that stands among them. These are the instructions for dealing with anyone who has a bodily discharge, a man who is unclean because of an emission of semen, or a woman during her menstrual period. It applies to any man or woman who has a bodily discharge, and to a man who has sexual intercourse with a woman who is ceremonially unclean. All right, y'all, till next time, I'll holla.
Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages or the cost of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated or showed his love toward us in that while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:9-10, if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with our hearts we believe we are now in right standing with God, and with our mouth we confess that we are now saved. Romans 10:13, for whosoever, anybody, everybody, who calls upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. So if you would like to be saved today, you can simply say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know my sin deserves to be punished. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for me and rose from the grave. I want to turn from my sin and trust Jesus Christ alone as my Savior. Thank you for the forgiveness and everlasting life I can now have through faith in Jesus. In Jesus' mighty precious name I pray. Amen.